uncertainty, political polarization, toxic tribalism, disruption and rupture in families and communities, economic instability, pandemic, famine, warfare. How do we live in a world in which there is so much brokenness? Do you recognize the world I've just described? I'm glad, because it is the world into which Jesus entered. Jesus was born into a world of warfare, political polarization, toxic tribalism, disrupted and ruptured families, economic instability, pandemic, famine, and uncertainty. And what Jesus invites us into is an answer to the question that many of us ask when we recognize the brokenness in the world, and that is this question: what do we do in response to all of these things? But what Jesus showed us is that before we strive to answer the question of what we do in light of the brokenness in the world, he invites us to consider who we are. And in light of who we are, how we are to be. And then, when we discern how we are to be in light of who we are, we answer, what are we to do? And how we discern who we are and how we are to be in the world is something that we find out, for those of us who follow Jesus, we do so following Jesus, learning who we are and learning how we are to be, most frequently at table. Moments ago, you heard testimony of lives that were changed at tables. Before that, many of us gathered around tables, and we were reminded of who we are in light of who Jesus is. As we take of the bread and we drink from the cup, we are engaging in identity formation as we remember that we are sons and daughters of God. That we are broken and yet made whole in light of Christ. That we are the people of the crucified and yet risen King over all creation. And as we discover who we are, we also learn how we are to be. And we learn how we are to be at the table, because it's at the table that we not only remind ourselves of who Jesus is, but we also discern who we are and how we are to be as we relate to and engage with each other. Do you know that patience and forgiveness and grace and compassion require another? And so as we, the people of Jesus, practice the way of Jesus, we're thinking about how it is that we're going to engage in a world in which brokenness seems to reign supreme. And we find in the book of Acts the earliest expression of Jesus' followers seeking to live out who they were and how they were to be in a world that had just as much brokenness as we experience today. Jesus was born into brokenness. And he calls his people to be the church. The church is not a building. The church is not a 501c3 nonprofit registered with the IRS. The church is the people of Jesus woven together into the body of Jesus, called to live in light of that identity as the hands and feet of Jesus in a world that experiences brokenness. And in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and 2, you find that the earliest followers of Jesus were a people who were committed to prayer. In Acts chapter 1, and I'll read it for you, it says that they returned from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they arrived, they went to the room upstairs, and there was a bunch of people staying there. And then it continues that they were all continually united in prayer. The men and women who were followers of Jesus and leaders in the church were committing themselves in the midst of this broken world, first to prayer. And today, my invitation for us is to take the same posture. They were committed to prayer. One of the things that we have sensed of God over the last couple years is we have been praying for God to give to us a fresh vision for our church, a fresh understanding for how God is calling us to minister in this space and time. We have sensed from God that one of the key things that we want to turn the volume up on is the culture of prayer in our church. And I'm thankful to God over the last 18 months after we unveiled that calling, that we've had our prayer team that prays with us on Sunday morning step up. We've had folks who are on our spiritual formation team cultivate prayer prompts in our prayer garden and also prayer gatherings throughout the week. And today, we're going to commit ourselves to praying for our city. So in the back of the seat in front of you are some prayer cards that look like this. They say, pray for Phoenix. I invite you, if you don't have one of those, grab one of those. We're going to use that today. What we've been doing over the last 2 months as a church is we have been using these cards to list on the back names of people that God might be using us to invite to the table, and also the needs that we see in our community in Phoenix that God might be inviting us to step into. And so if those things come to mind as we spend this time together this morning, I'd invite you to fill that out. And as we conclude our time at the end of our service this morning, we're going to pin these to the prayer wall and then pray over them together. But I invite you to take those cards out if you do not have one, and there should be a pen available in the back of the seat in front of you. One of the things that is often frustrating to me is that when I see the brokenness in the world that animates me, my first instinct is to go and do something about it. And in my own heart, I view prayer as a waste of my time. Because I got things to do, fam. There's something broke, and I, me, God's gift to broken humanity, need to put my skills into action to fix. Praying is for the weak. And that actually is true. You see, prayer is for the weak. The problem with my angst, with my frustration, is not that prayer is for the weak, it's I don't think I'm weak. But then I start to think about the nature of the problems that I see. And I start to wonder to myself, can I actually fix this thing? Like this presenting problem seems to be connected to a root that is beyond my capacity to fix on my own. Might call this like systemic problems or problems that are baked into the root system. And all I'm seeing is just a little sprout of evil that I think I can fix on my own. I need reminders to pray for my city, because my instinct is to act. Now that's me, and I get paid to be a Christian. Can you believe that? And I know that that's not the same for all of us. For some of us, it might be apathy. that drives us to an absence of prayer. It may be fear and insecurity that we don't know how to pray. It may be that we're not even sure that our prayers are heard. And the answer to each one of those concerns is found in the crucified yet risen King of the cosmos who's given his life for you and wants to hear from you. You see, one of the things that I know to be true about prayer is that praying for my community, I believe, does change things. Most of all, it changes me. And here's why. My temptation is to be about the work of fixing the problems on my own power. And I know that when I have chosen to do that on my own power, I've actually caused oftentimes more brokenness in the process. You know those people you don't like that are causing all the problems you are frustrated about? You guys know what I'm talking about? Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You have a list, right? I have a list. Some of you are on it. So you know those people. You know those people. Them. Like if we could just get rid of them, we wouldn't have these problems. You know what I'm talking about? The earliest followers of Jesus thought it was the Romans. And you know what they wanted Jesus to do to the Romans? Annihilate them. This is the normal function of the human heart. We want our enemies to be. You know what's striking? Some of the earliest named Christians were soldiers in the Roman army. Some of the people who got the gospel first, meaning it clicked for them first, were part of the evil empire. Which tells me that what Jesus wants for me is to first recognize who I am in light of him. And secondly, how I am to be in light of who I am. And in light of those two truths, I recognize that I actually don't have any enemies, because all ground is equal at the foot of the cross. And what Jesus wants is the redemption and restoration, not only of me, but also them. Moreover, Jesus likely wants to reform something in me through them at his table. And so what are we as a people of prayer to do? I want to invite you to join me next Sunday evening. We're going to gather here for a meal, 5 o'clock next Sunday. Everyone is welcome, but we're going to share some things that we're going to step into this year that we believe God's calling us into. Some different projects, some different ministry opportunities that we're sensing God's calling in. Would love for you to join us. Again, that's next Sunday at 5 o'clock here at Desert Springs. We'll share a meal together, we'll pray together, and we'll share some of that. We're also launching a new series on prayer, teaching us to pray. And so if you're uncertain how to pray, you're not sure how that all works, this is a great opportunity for you to learn from Jesus how it is that he's inviting us to pray. But what I want to invite us into now is to commit ourselves this year to praying for our city. So I want to invite you to take those cards out. Again, if you don't have one, there should be some available on the tables in the back. And just a few moments, we're going to take a time to pause and reflect and even to hear from the Lord. And if you're hearing from the Lord a name of someone or a need of our community, I'd invite you to write that down. And then when I give instruction to you, we'll come up and we'll pin the cards to the prayer wall. There's some pins available on the wall already. And then at each of the communion tables. There's also little containers of the push pins. For the parents and guardians in the room, would just ask you to take special attention and care with your kids. The pins are sharp, and just to help them along as they pin that. And also for the kids in the room, if you could just pay special attention to the parents or guardians, because these pins are sharp. And many of them are not, can't see so good in the dark. So it's going to be we're going to need everybody's help today. And so I'm going to ask when the time comes that you would just come forward, pin that prayer card to the wall, and then go back to your seats, and then we'll have a special time where all of us pray as we conclude our time together. In light of such brokenness in the world, how do we get the strength to pray first? How do we get the power, the courage, the confidence to first be still? We recognize that we have a firm foundation in Jesus, that he is the rock on which we stand. He is the very foundation of his church, the body of Christ, this thing that he is building. He is the anchor, the foundation. No one knew the brokenness in the world more than Jesus. And one of the things that Jesus most frequently did was pray. And so in light of who we are and how we are invited to be, I invite us now to pray. Pastor Danny's going to come out and he's going to lead us in a song, which has been our prayer throughout this first few weeks of the year. We're going to remind ourselves that God is our firm foundation. Moreover, we're going to be listening to the Spirit of God as he puts on our heart the needs of our community and the names that he's bringing to mind that maybe one day he might be using us to invite to the table. And as you write those out, at the proper time, just come up and place those here on the board, and then return back to your seats, and we'll pray together. So, Pastor Danny, would you please?
How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will still give thee aid, I'll strengthen thee and help thee and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, we're abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Waters, he calls thee to go. The rivers of grief shall not thee overflow, for he will be with thee in trouble to bless and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. Church, would you all stand with me?
How firm the foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you refuge to Jesus have fled.
Amen.
So in Acts chapter 17, you see this moment where the Apostle Paul is bearing witness to the strength that he is exhibiting as a follower of Jesus. And he says to this group of people, many of whom were antagonistic against him, that the thing that he was anchored to is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it is in that foundation that we pray for our city today. I would ask that you remain standing, and if you are the outstretch your hand praying type, I'd invite you to do that and stretch your hand out. If not, that's totally fine. But let us just pray for the needs here, just thinking about this wall filled with cards, filled with names and needs. So let us just pray, Lord, that we might be a people who entrust ourselves and our city into your care. We pray for the names that are represented here, people that are loved by people in this room and loved so profoundly by you. There are many reasons why these names are here, but we know, Lord, that you desire to draw them near to you. And so we pray that these names would meet at table by the power of your Spirit, that they might know who they are in you, that they might follow your invitation to be like you. And may we be a community that invites everyone in who you invite in, knowing that you invite everyone to your table. And Lord, we pray for each need that's represented here. Each of these needs, there are also manifold names connected to them. When we think of categories of needs, we see each one of those is connected to people whom you love. And so increase within this community, Lord, not only a sense of who we are in you, but give to us a sense of your love for those impacted by these needs. May our hearts break where your heart breaks. May our eyes look upon the needs and the people whom you look upon. And Jesus, just as you have been so radically generous and self-giving to us, would you increase within us a self-giving generosity that we might mirror you? These needs for many of us, myself included, can feel overwhelming, burdensome, confusing, perhaps even never-ending. And so we trust. Jesus, we trust in you. Father, Son, and Spirit, our triune God, we entrust these needs to you as our Creator, as our God, as our King, as the one who will restore all that which is broken. And may we, as a community of saints, formed into the image of Jesus, live in such a way that we might and those around us might experience a glimpse of that future restorative power even now in the brokenness and the needs of our city. As we see this prayer wall each time we gather here, May it serve as a reminder to us, Lord, to pray. Knowing that you hear us, knowing that you love us, knowing that you empathize with us, and knowing that you are powerful to fulfill your promises towards us. And so, Jesus, it is in your name that we pray and entrust ourselves into your care. And together we all said, amen and amen.